Thank you, Brother Sterrett, and I want to say I'm very glad to be here this morning. I got a very good word from Spurgeon just before the surgery, which was 7 weeks ago, and in Spurgeon's checkbook, he said in one particular day, "What an enjoyment that is to be able to walk abroad after sickness, and you can only enjoy that by being sick." And being sick as I was, I certainly am so happy today to be here. And also to have this opportunity of thanking you all, thanking you for your concern and for your prayers. And for those who sent along cards, we had many, many cards, many emails and phone calls and gifts of flowers and other sorts of things. And people who came along and visited us, either in hospital or at home. And so I want you to know we really appreciate that concern and that kindness, and my wife and I were greatly encouraged by that. So it's good to be here again, and I trust the Lord will give us strength. I had a stress test on Thursday in the hospital, and they give you 1 to 20. You're on a bike, and you have to pedal furiously, breathing through a tube and so on, with all the electrodes on. 1 to 20. And I got to 18, and I thought that was pretty good. And the only reason I stopped at 18 was my knee was hurting me because I'm not used to pedaling a bike. But anyhow, things are going well, and we appreciate the prayers of God's people. We're going to turn this morning to the book of Philippians. Chapter 1, and we'll read the first 12 verses of this portion of God's Word. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have happened out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that once more we're found in the house of God, around the word of God, and we thank thee, O God, in thy presence, because thou hast pledged to be with us when we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray today that thou would draw near, that thou would speak to every individual soul, and grant, O God, that no child of thine shall leave this place untouched by thy hand. O God, encourage thy people and bless them in the Lord. And Father, should there be those with us who have never yet entered into the blessing of God's salvation, and right now are without God, without Christ, and without hope in this world or the world to come. O God, we pray that I even speak to those souls. And Father, we pray even today they would call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We thank thee, O God, thou hast told us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We ask, O Lord, now to give strength in the proclamation of thy word. We realize, Lord, that in ourselves we are nothing and we can do nothing, but we thank thee, O God, for thy promise that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. So we pray for strength and victory as we meet around the word of God today. Hear this our prayer and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, it was a great thrill for me to be able to go to two countries, Turkey and Greece, and first of all, to see the places of the seven churches of the book of Revelation, and then to follow somewhat in the path and the steps of the Apostle Paul. It was a thrill to be at Troas and to see the place where Paul got the Macedonian vision to go over to Macedonia to minister the word, and also to see the very place from where he took his ship, because the remains of the harbor are still there to this day. It was a thrill also to go to the other side, to Greece, 100 miles away, to see Neapolis, where he landed in his boat, and then to see the mountain behind there, Mount Cymbeline, 1,670 feet high, almost as high as the CN Tower. He got off the ship, right up over the top of that mountain, around it, and then down onto a road known as the Via Egnatia, and down the other side, and then walking across a plain that was 5 or 6 miles across. And on the other side, you have the ancient city of Philippi. And if you want to, you can't go to Philippi, but I have brought you a little bit of Philippi here today because that came from the main street. Maybe Paul walked in this, maybe he kicked it as he was walking along in Philippi. So it's a real thrill to go there because that was the place where the very first church, a Christian church, was established in Europe. Now, I read to you from Philippians chapter 1 for a reason. It's a very precious chapter to me because it was involved in the call that God gave me to the ministry, and it was very much a part of that call that God gave me. It was also a great comfort to me in the hospital where we were for several days after the triple bypass surgery. And so it's a great comfort because when I was there, now you think when you get into hospital and you have a lot of time, you want to read a lot. Let me tell you, when you're not feeling so good, you don't feel like doing anything, and reading is not high on the list. But I did have with me, through my wife's good offices, Martin Lloyd-Jones' book called The Life of Joy. And if you haven't got that, get it and read it. It'll bless your soul because Martin Lloyd-Jones, he looks at the book of Philippians and he brings out a joyful message to encourage every believer. Now, one thing that stood out and greatly encouraged me was verse number 6, well known, and this is the key verse of this book. You know, if you have a house, sometimes you hide a key. So outside somewhere, so if you forget your key, you can come along and get that one and still get into the house. Well, in this case here, Paul didn't hide the key. The key to Philippians is verse number 6, where he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the key to the whole book of Philippians, and you'll not unlock the book unless you understand that verse. And I want to look at that today with you and to share it with you in the will of the Lord. Now, the first thing that I want to look at is the condition of the Apostle Paul, because he is writing to them, and he's writing to encourage them. But Paul was a man who suffered much for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read in 2 Corinthians a listing of the sufferings that he had, the stonings, the imprisonments, and so on. He was a man who suffered much for the Lord Jesus. And now when he comes to write this book to the Philippian church, the very first church in Europe, he is languishing in a horrible Roman jail. And he is chained at that time between two soldiers. Now, when you go to a hospital, and they have you all wired up with things, and it's very hard to move around, very hard to walk, and the very ordinary functions of life become a challenge. You think of what it must have been for Paul, chained between two soldiers, and even trying to look after the natural bodily functions under the watchful eye of two soldiers the whole time. This was not easy for the Apostle Paul. And yet, in spite of being in that awful prison and the awful circumstances in Rome, Paul writes to them, as Martin Lloyd-Jones gets it, an epistle of joy. And you'll see in chapter 4, for example, it says there, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So he encourages them. And in his position, his condition, you'd think he'd be downhearted, discouraged, and depressed. But here he is writing a letter to encourage these people in the Lord. Now, friend, I want to encourage you today. There may be some people here and you, like Paul, are suffering. Perhaps it is bodily sickness that comes to us all. Perhaps it is family problems. Perhaps it is personal trouble. Paul, we're told, is like John on Patmos, a companion in tribulation. Paul is not some armchair quarterback with theoretical knowledge, but he is telling them from practical experience not to get downcast, but to rejoice. I had to laugh, you know, before I went in for surgery. A lot of people came to me and well-meaning, and they said to me, you know, don't worry too much about it because it's not too difficult an operation, sort of an ordinary operation. The person who says that has never been through it. And I tell you, it's not an ordinary thing at all. They are speaking well-meaningly to try and encourage me, but they had never been there. I can tell you now what it's like from the other side. But in Paul's case here, Paul is speaking, he has been there. And he's telling you today to be encouraged because he speaks from personal experience. And that's why this word was so encouraging to me, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So consider, first of all, Paul's condition in the prison as he writes. Then the confidence. He says, being confident of this very thing. Now, what was the ground of Paul's confidence? He had much to cause him not to be confident because of the situation he found himself in. But he's confident because he knows that the work in Philippi is still going on despite his afflictions, and he knows it is the work of God and it is a work that no enemy can stop. Now, in Philippi, the first convert was Lydia from the revelation city of Thyatira. Lydia was saved by the grace of God. Then that young girl who was possessed of a devil, she was converted and became one of the first members of the church in Philippi. And then they were in the jail. And when we were in Philippi, they showed us a place that they think may be the jail that Paul was in Philippi, along with Silas. And the earthquake came and let them out. But that jailer, he was saved and his household. And so these people became the foundation of the church, the first European church. They became the foundation of that church there. Now, Paul does not speak about what he did, but rather he pointed out to them that the work that has been done and is being done in those days in Philippi was not their work, but it was God who was doing a mighty work in their midst. We need to get to grips with this here because it's so easy to think that the work that we do for God is our work. But it's not, it is the Lord's work. And in his case in Philippi, the Lord was doing a mighty and a saving work. Now we likewise should be encouraged, because in our work here in Toronto, we have many challenges. And if there were not challenges, there's something wrong with the work. Because if the devil is not giving you a hard time, then you can be sure you're not giving him much of a hard time. But when you do give the devil a hard time, then he will give you a hard time, and so you'll face all kinds of challenges. But despite the challenges, we know that the work of God here is going on, because God is doing the same saving work in your life and in others' lives, just as he did in Philippi 2,000 years ago. Now, nearly all of us here this morning are believers. We know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and Paul is writing to believers. So most of us are believers. But if we fail to grasp the fact that this is not our work, but it is God's work, and that God is doing the work, we'll find that we'll be suffering from worry. We'll be suffering from a foreboding, and not to realize that God's at work will fill your heart with unhappiness. And so many believers today are living lives well short of what they should enjoy in the Lord, because they're consumed by worry, by foreboding, and unhappiness. And you find that people are pessimistic. Now, Paul had every reason to be pessimistic in that jail and prison between those two soldiers, and having a pretty miserable life of it there. He had every reason to be pessimistic, but he wasn't. And for each one of us, we have to get rid of pessimism, because that is soul-destroying. And so many people, they allow themselves to lose the joy of the Lord because they have this pessimistic outlook. Get rid of it, because it will destroy your soul. And how do you get rid of it? Little chorus has the answer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. We move on now to the commencement, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun, that's the commencement, begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul did a great work in Philippi. I stood in the place there where he received that call from the Macedonian man, come over and help us. And we stood in Philippi where Paul came and where the church was established there. He did a great work. But Paul does not draw attention and say, well, I respond to the call over in Troas. I came over here because I knew you people needed me to come here. And so he didn't do that. He pointed out, God, which hath begun a good work in you. And so he wasn't looking at what he had done. He's looking at what God had done, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. In the work of salvation, he who which hath begun a good work in you. The work of salvation, God does it. We once were rebels to grace and to God, but God convicted us by the Holy Spirit. It brought us to realize our need. It brought us to realize the only hope we had was in the sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus. He gave us the grace to call upon the Lord, and he converted us. And so if we're saved today, it's not because of what we have done. Although out there in the so-called evangelical world, there are many people who are focusing more and more on what we do. The salvation is not what we do. Salvation is what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, let us remember that, that he is the one who begins the work of salvation in your heart and in mine. Also, the work of service too. Because we are here in this place, and some of us can remember the early days when we had nothing back in 1976. We're here today because of the providential leadings of Almighty God. We have a church, we have a school, we have a work among the young people, and so on. And that is not something that we have done. It's something that God has done. Because we start off with nothing. And it wasn't because of our talents or our money, but it was because God started it. You see, he which hath begun, God is the one who does the work. And today we rejoice. We didn't start it or do it. God is the author of it all. Now, the Philippian Christians were good people. If you look at his different epistles, you'll find, for example, in Galatians, he was very grieved with them because they had turned away from the first principles and away to other things, back to beggarly elements of ritual and so on. But the Philippians were good people because he says there in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto this. And so here he is languishing in jail in Rome in the most awful of circumstances, and he thinks and he remembers those people away, thousands of miles away in Philippi. He says, I thank God for every remembrance of you. I wonder, as people look back about us, do they say the same thing, or do they look back and think, well, there's all kinds of things that we can't thank the Lord for. But these were good people, and even though they were good people, they were not the ones who started the church, because if there had been no action, no intervention, no providential leading of the Lord, there'd never have been a church in Philippi. And likewise, if there had been no intervention from the Lord, no action from God on high, and no providential leading to us, we wouldn't have a church here. So Paul remembers the past, remembers Troas, remembers the vision he got, remembers the boat trip over to Neapolis and then to Philippi. Remembers going to the riverside, and I stood at that riverside just last year. He remembers going into jail in Philippi, and he remembers above all the overriding hand of God in the whole thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then you've got the conversion, and here's the point we've got to grasp today. Being confident of this very thing, that he, the Lord, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't say a good work among you, although that would be true because God did a great work among the Philippian Christians. But he says he begun a good work in you. So it's not something external, and it's not something to just for everybody. It is addressed to you and to me as an individual believer. God has begun a good work in us. And so salvation is not a surface thing. It's not an external thing, but it is an inner revolution that is wrought by the power of Almighty God, where God makes a complete change in our lives. He has begun a good work. And my friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you should rejoice greatly, because what better work is there? It's a good work. What better work is there than the work of God's salvation? In the case of Lydia, and that girl, the demoniac girl, and the prison warden, and all his family, and those other people who joined to make the church there, what better work? We start off by saying that singing Henry Francis Light's great hymn there about praise to our God. And there's a line there that says, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me thy praise should sing? We have been ransomed as believers from the burden and the thraldom and the clutches of the devil. We've been freed, ransomed, healed from the awful sickness of sin, restored. We who were dead in trespasses and in sin have new life given by the Lord, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, our sins blotted out. The Bible tells us God puts them behind his back. He buries them in the sea of his forgetfulness, and he blots them out as a thick cloud. And so today, we are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Why? Because God has started and begun a good work in your heart and in my heart today. Then we go on to the completion, because it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The word perform there is a word that means to complete or to perfect. Now, every one of us can look back in our lives and we can think of projects that we have started, the things you want to do. My wife and I, we came to this country in 1976, and down the basement of our home in the crawl space are some cases and crates, and we have always intended to open those, but they've been closed since 1976. There's old curtain material and stuff that'll never be used, but we always intend to do that, but we never get that project. Maybe someday we will, or maybe we'll just call somebody in and dump the whole lot. Anyhow, we all have projects that we have that we never finish. But my friend, God does not do that. When God starts something, he completes it. When God began the work of creation, he completed it. When God began the work of redemption, as is revealed in the book of Genesis, God has completed it and will complete it. You and I have been saved, but we're not finished yet. We haven't come to the end of the world, the end of time. But the Lord, he always finishes what he starts. And the work and the witness that he has started in your life and in my life, while so often we feel so weak and helpless, we will see that work finished. Because Jesus on the cross cried, "It is finished." And again, Paul was able to say to Timothy, "I have finished my course." And so the work of God will be completed, no matter what our difficulties may be, no matter how weak we may feel, and sometimes we feel we're never going to make it. But God tells us here, he which hath begun a good work will complete it, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So today we can rejoice that while the devil is working out in that world and doing awful things in the world, yet today we can rejoice that God Almighty is working in your heart and in my heart if you know him as your Savior. And in that work, you will receive many, many blessings from the Lord. Because if you count your blessings, you'll find that they far outweigh the burdens. But we do have the burdens along with the blessings, and they are part of the sanctification process. We all have our triumphs, and we have our trials. We have our victories, and we have our vexations. But we have to remember that the Lord has told us through Paul all things. No matter how difficult, no matter how challenging, no matter how good they are or how evil they seem to be, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And friend, today that means that God Almighty has not forgotten you. And even though your situation may be almost in your eyes akin to what Paul went through, God has not forgotten you. He knows all about it. And he's able to help you in a time of need. Only trust him. Now, today, we ask the question, is that work of God going on in your life? You ask, is that work of God going on in my life? Well, if it is, there are certain evidences that things are happening, because you'll find in your life that if you know the Lord and God is working through the indwelling Spirit in your heart, you will be developing a growing dislike and hatred of sin. Not only in the world at large, but in your own heart. In the early days, the believers face sometimes major challenges. The Lord gives victory over them. But as you go on with the Lord, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine that are the problem. And Bunyan, in his Holy War, painted it wonderfully, the city of man's soul. He says, in the cracks of the stones are some Diabolonians, in other words, little devils, there to try and make life difficult. And so you can be sure that the old devil, he will work to try and get you to sin. But the longer you go with the Lord and he's working in you, you'll find this growing dislike and dissatisfaction in things that are sinful and that are wrong. Also, if God is working in you, you'll also feel that there is a desire for holiness. You want to live a life like him. He is holy. We are to be holy. And so you desire to be like the Lord. You don't want to be like the world. Don't want to be in the sinful pursuits of the world. But rather, you want to have the beauty of the Lord our God upon us. And let me underline that prayer I've told you about before. Pray every day on Galatians 5. And 22, Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in my life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness and temperance. Lord, let these things be seen, not in small measure, but in great measure. And you'll find if the Lord is working in your heart as a believer, a dislike, an increasing dislike of sin, and an increasing desire for holiness. And if the Lord is working in your heart and you know him, and he's keeping this work going, you'll find there is a desire to please him. So many want to please other people, want to be thought well of by the world at large. But the believer wants to please the Lord and to be like him and show the reflection of the beauty of the Lord our God to a dying world. But God says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the last point, which is the coronation, the time. You will notice Paul does not say, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of your death. We're all going to die. Of that there's no question, unless the Lord comes and calls before. But we're all going to die. But Paul does not say he'll keep us until the day of death. It is to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, God is working to an overall purpose and plan. The book of Revelation tells us that there is a marriage supper coming up. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And also, there is a coronation coming up when Jesus Christ will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the book of Isaiah and also Revelation tells us that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And Peter tells us that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, if the saints of God are not dwelling in that new earth, tell me, where does the righteousness come from? Because I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, He will reign on that new earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this is ahead of us, this lying ahead of us, and what a wonderful hope it is. Now, on earth, we have earthly dates and sometimes we miss them. I had planned to go to Victoria for the installation of the Reverend Aaron Dunlap, his ordination and the constitution of the church. I also had planned to go from there to Calgary for the Minister's Week of Prayer in October. And then we were supposed to be in Florida right now having our late summer break, our late summer holiday. But there were three things. We had in fact, we'll go to Ireland too. We had to be in Ireland for the retirement dinner of Reverend David McElveen. There's four things we were booked to go to, but I had to cancel a whole lot of them. They're still trying to get the money back from airlines and so on. But we had to cancel them all because very often earthly dates can be missed. But my friend, here's a date that will not be missed. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, complete it, perfect it, until the day of Jesus Christ. And we'll be there. We sing often, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And the only reason we can say that is not because of us, it is because God is the one who completes the work that He has started in our hearts. And so the Bible tells in the book of Isaiah, thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. What a blessing that will be on the day when we are called before the Lord. So, believer today, if you're cast down and you think that things are difficult and hard, remember this text, being confident of this very thing, that He, the Lord, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So every believer can say, we will be there, because the Lord will complete the work. But are there some here this morning, and you have never, ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Right now you are without Christ, without hope in this world or the world to come. My friend, you need to call upon the name of the Lord before it is forever too late, because, well, we're having a couple of weddings coming up in the not-too-distant future, and already invitations have gone out. And if you intend to go to the weddings, then you fill in the RSVP and you send it back, because you intend, in the grace of God, to be there. You have to respond. And God already has put the invitation out. Jesus has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so He's inviting you to come to Him. But you have to respond. You've got to respond to Him and say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I have sinned against Thee. I know, Lord, that if I continue in my sin, I will find myself in a Christless eternity. Yes, Lord, I know that there is no work in my heart that I can look to where I detest the things that I used to love and love the things I used to dislike. I can't see that work in my heart. Dear friend, the Lord tells us He will be very gracious unto thee at the sound of thy voice. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. So He's inviting to come. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you too can enter into the joy that Paul is speaking about here. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Why? Because we are confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the encouragement of thy word today. And we thank thee, O God, that the work that thou hast started will not be left undone, but it will be completed. And we thank thee, O God, that each one of us who know the Lord will someday take our seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A Father, for any here who know not the Lord and have heard the invitation go out from thee, we pray, O God, that thou would begin a work of grace in their hearts, that they too would come to know the Lord and rejoice with us in the blessing of God's salvation. We thank thee, O God, that there is a crowning day coming, and we pray that none here will be missing on that great and wonderful day, the day of Jesus Christ. Hear this, our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.